Hey, Bob WP here, and welcome to Scaling Enterprise, WordPress, and OSS, a Do The Woo podcast show. We would like to thank our sponsor, Avalara. Avalara's powerful tax automation for enterprises ensures compliance across jurisdictions, scales with your business, and integrates seamlessly with existing systems. Reduce risks, save time, and stay ahead of ever-changing tax regulations with Avalara. I'll tell you more about Avalara later in the show, but let's get into the conversation.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another exciting episode of the Scaling Enterprise WordPress and Open Source Software Podcast. I'm one piece to the puzzle of your hosting crew here, Brad Williams. Excited to dive in another fun episode. As always, I'm joined with Tom Wilmot. What's going on, Tom?
Great to be here. Excited to be back with Tom Krustoon, who you can see is already here. And so I think without further ado, we can probably dive right in. Kareem, shall I hand over to you?
Absolutely. Hello, audience. Kareem Maruki here again as the third host. And today I'm excited to have a conversation with Tom Cranston. Tom and I met last year at Janice Boy's conference around CMS experts, and we've had a lively, spirited conversation since. Tom has been working for over almost 15 years with AEM, Adobe Experience Manager, and we've had some really interesting conversations, and he's had a lot of interesting experience in it. So really, Tom, welcome. I'd really like to welcome you to the opposite side. We in the WordPress world and the open source world think of AEM as the competition. So welcome. Thank you for taking some of our questions and tell us a little bit more about your experience and how our misconceptions of AEM are hurting us in figuring out how to help the enterprise.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, as you said, 15 years with AEM. I worked with all of the major websites, Nissan, Twitter, Now X, Ford, Jaguar Land Rover, McLaren Sports Cars, Hyundai Genesis, EE, telecom provider in the UK. So I've worked with all the big boys, and I've worked on the largest AEM websites on the planet. The website for Nissan Renault covered both 300 markets in 25 languages, all done on two AEM systems. The key misconception is that it's miscategorized as a proprietary system. AEM is not proprietary. It is built on open source foundations. And even more importantly, the open source foundations were created by the creators of the product that is now known as AEM. I'll cover that in a little bit more detail later. It is really one of the most successful marriages of open source and enterprise capability, and it is now moving fully towards composable architecture. As I said, I've been working with it for 15 years. I've always used it as a composable architecture. I've never used it as a monolithic, out-of-the-box, one-stop solution. So forever, it's been composable. And it's getting more composable as the years go on.
So can you tell us a little bit more about these open source origins? We are intrigued.
That's very interesting. Yeah, I'd love to know a bit more about that.
Yeah, well, it began with a product called Secure. You may have heard the expression Secure 5. And if you're looking for AEM stuff, you'll always come up with Secure 5. Secure 5 was the last iteration of Communique, a product of Day Software. Day Software invented Communique. The Communique eventually morphed into Adobe Experience Manager. The principal scientist at Day Software was a guy called Roy Fielding. Roy Fielding should be well known to everybody that uses the internet. He was chairman of Apache. He created the URL structure. His university thesis was on the REST, Representative State Transfer for the Web. He is the chief architect of what has now become Adobe Experience Manager. And way, way back in 2010, he published slides I will share with you later, Kareem, about the slide packs, etc. In fact, I've pre-shared them with you. He created a slide pack that's saying how to build on open source and really build a marketable, wonderful product.
We will post them on the site.
Okay, thank you. He is, as part of Apache Software, part of Day Corporation. He was chairman of Apache. He created, and Day Corporation created, Apache JackRabbit, which is a database Java content repository run for the Java community. He created Apache Felix and OSGI plugin modules, which is the plugin system that AEM uses, much like WordPress has plugins. AEM has plugins for the OSGI. And Apache Sling. These were all things that were produced by Day Corporation and contributed to the open source world and then built upon to provide and become communique.
Right. So can I ask you a quick question? What happened in 2002? Why did they decide to go away from open source?
No, they've never gone away from open source.
Oh.
They are still the maintainers of Adobe, are still the maintainers of these products. And the staff that they purchased from Day Corporation moved into Adobe with them. And Roy Fielding is the principal scientist at Adobe. And other names from those open source days are also still working with Adobe.
So some parts of the suite today remain open source. Is that what you're saying? Or some of the building blocks of some of those products remain open source?
If you take an analysis of what's inside AEM, it's composable architecture. When you run an Adobe Experience Manager server, you will end up with 900 individual pieces of Java software running in the OSGI framework. 43% of them are open source.
Interesting.
I think it's interesting that all three of us are surprised to hear that AEM has some open source foundational components to it, because that's honestly, I'm surprised to hear that as well.
Yeah, but I think that the most amazing thing, I've taught a lot of developers, mentor them, teach them formal classes, write manuals, etc. And everybody says to me, why does Adobe take open source software and charge a fortune for people to use it? And he's, no, that's not what happened. Adobe created the software and donated it to the open source world and then charged people for their services, not for the software.
I see. So why do we see AEM implementation shops if Adobe's charging for the hosting of it the same way we think of Drupal or WordPress?
Well, you can buy, just like WordPress, you have three ways of running AEM. You can host it yourself, get a package off of Adobe, install. Yeah, you get the training manual documentation. You get the 57% of the code that's not open source. So you are buying something. You also get the integrations with the rest of the Adobe estate. Don't forget, creatives are creating things in Photoshop. So Adobe has connectors with Photoshop. So when you're using a digital asset manager, you can go into Photoshop and save it directly to AEM. Brilliant for a creative shop. You can go to Adobe's personalization service through the hooks that Adobe provide. They provide the whole digital experience. They weren't just a CMS when they started. They were one of the 40 PSEXs.
Interesting. We could literally start a server and put up, you said, this 57% of the Adobe. Are there major holes? Is it a complete system without the Adobe piece?
Yes. There are more than one CMS systems based on the 43%. I will send you links to them after the chat.
Absolutely.
One of the guys, you met Marta at CMS Experts. Her company provides CMS based on the 43%. Their product, a StreamX, which makes AEM faster, it's a front end, a bit like Varnish, it will make any CMS faster. But it works with AEM and it works with the open source versions of the CMS that are similar to it. It's a huge, still open source contribution out there. As I said, Adobe look after the repos. They accept inputs from the public. You can read it. You can see how it works. The 53% is the syntactical sugar that links them up with their backends and gives you the UI that lets you edit things. However, having said that, Adobe are now migrating the UI to brand new ways of working, which are open sourced, brand new ways of creating your CNS content, which will be attractive to the less than corporate users. The new thing they've done, forgetting the past, the new thing that they've done is called Franklin or Edge Delivery Service. That allows you to create a page inside Word or Google Docs, publish that as a complete web page to Adobe's Edge Delivery Services network. And once, if you obey the rules that Adobe sets, completely open source, you download the front end. It's all JavaScript. There's no back end for you to worry about. You create in Google or Word, you publish, and you've got access to every single byte that has got anything to do with the product. Plus, you can amend it, change it, do what you want with your own local copy. And I have written an extensive blog. It's the All About Network, and it's recognized even by Adobe as the go-to source for information about Franklin Edge Delivery Service.
Amazing. Tom Wilmot, this sounds truly composable.
This, Tom C. says, it is.
Yeah.
The other thing that we were trying to talk about earlier is, and I went off track, AEM is available as self-hosted. You can host it yourself in the cloud. Adobe can manage it for you in the cloud, or it can be a total cloud service that is like a serverless version that Adobe will look after for you. Three different ways of running AEM, all with different pricing packages and points.
I'm sure you'll feel reassured if your clients' enterprise sites are hassle-free and tax-compliant. Avalara offers the compliance benefits that your clients need. With their reliable and scalable rate determination and customization with Avalara, you can be confident that your clients' tax rates are always accurate and up-to-date. Their streamlined process means reduced maintenance and IT obligations, so your team and your enterprise clients can focus on what they do best. Plus, Avalara's future-proof SaaS flexibility ensures that you and your clients are always up-to-date. You can depend on enterprise-class security, so you can trust that your clients' data is safe and secure. And lastly, Avalara's intuitive interface makes managing compliance simple, and their friendly support team is always ready to help. So yes, Avalara, compliance done right for your enterprise clients. Check them out at avalara.com.
You talked a little bit about, I guess, your use of Adobe, you know, as always being composable. And so that's quite interesting. I think in the WordPress space, there's probably a whole bunch of people who actually don't really even know what this kind of composable word means, specifically when it comes to enterprise CMS. And, you know, we're probably still catching up with digital experience platforms in some of the audience. I think probably another segment of the audience are used to thinking about Adobe as a suite and composable as being somewhat of a alternative approach to that. And so it would be interesting to hear you explain a little bit just what composable is. And what it means in when it's used in this way. And yeah, and then maybe talk a little bit about how Adobe's moving from suite to composable, because I think Adobe's not the only one. There's quite a few of these suites that are now trying to become composable. It feels like one of the major trends.
So there's two things. When you build an AEM website, you create the entire front end so that you're under control of the front end at all times, no matter what the shop is, and you can reach out to other services and bring in pieces from any API and build your website, which is simple composable. As I said, it's got a plug-in system. It's based on OSGI, Open Systems Gateway Interface, a Java method for assembling Java components. You don't have to run 1,000 Java runtimes to run 1,000 Java programs. You run one Java runtime and it cycles between them. So when you have that plugin system, you can write any backend you want. And even if you're running your AEM as a hosted solution by Adobe as a web service, you can contribute your own OSGI components to be added to the backend. And those OSGI components can do anything a web browser can do and can suck in content, repurpose it and send it back to the eventual front end for display. It can even render on the back end and deliver it as a fully finished web page if you want. From when I started, it was a monolithic. Everything worked inside what's called the JCR. Excuse me, the Java Content Repository. All code was stored in the Java Content Repository. all assets were stored in the content repository. Your back end, your front end, everything was in there. It was then served to the customer at different points to make the AEM work. Over the last 15 years, Adobe have sliced this ever so nicely. Every year there's a new release of, not obvious, because they still call it M5 and RAM 6, but whatever. There's a new release every quarter, which takes you up a jump point, and then every year there's a brand new release. So what happens there is they've broken AEM into multiple packages. They moved the database and the assets into two separate stores, and then they made the assets go to AWS, and then they split the code into the Adobe provided code and the user provided code and store them in two different places, made the base immutable so that you couldn't touch the Adobe code, you could only touch your own. And then they split the processing in the back end for the asset handling into separate serverless components. They used a thing called Apache OpenWhisk. Once again, an open source piece of software critical to the modern. Apache OpenWhisk is a serverless environment that sets up Node.js in servers. Adobe call it Adobe I/O, but it is Apache OpenWhisk. OpenWhisk and Adobe contribute to that project, which was started by. So all of the services that were in the monolith are being broken out and placed into the Adobe I/O Apache OpenWhisk space, making it much, much more composable. You now just have APIs to worry about. And what's happened in the end, the AEM piece that's the monolith isn't a monolith anymore. It has a centralized index of all of its assets and data, which it still stores in its Java content repository. And everything else has been parceled out and given to serverless components.
Could I jump in with a quick question? So this is all new, interesting information for us in the WordPress world, but I'm curious, if we look at the Gartner Magic Quadrant that came out recently, one of the key insights was some systems are more composable than others. And they were talking about systems like Squiz that really are trying to be modules, they're almost their own piece. It sounds like this is still modular at the extreme engineering level, not as a product level. You have to design it before you start composably.
Oh, yes, you have to design it before you start, yes. Well, with any composable system, you still have to design. If you're using third-party PCs and composing from third parties, which is what we're talking about, then you have to design it.
But can you replace modules if you don't like one module? You can just...
Yes, yes.
Is it very intensive? Is it like, you know, refactoring code, or is it...
The way it happens is you write a new plugin with a higher priority than the existing plugins. It then gets loaded into the OSGI container, and the OSGI resolves the differences. And OSGI works as if you have two plugins running at the same time. Anybody else that comes along looks for an invocation of the highest priority that satisfies this interface. So you define the interface, and it takes the highest priority member takes over and runs that code for you. So even whilst AEM is running, you can upgrade plugins and not cause any downtime. And you can change the plugin's behavior and switch to another service. It is still engineering, but it's at runtime.
Yeah, you know, Tom, you mentioned it earlier on some of the bigger brands, well-known brands, success stories, right? So let's touch on some real-world implementations, and maybe we could even dig into a little bit of some of the challenges that even at that scale, you know, they're faced, because every technical implementation, every system, it's going to check a lot of boxes, but probably not all the boxes, right? There's always going to be challenges and hurdles, pros and cons. So I'm curious, maybe we could touch on a couple of these examples and maybe just some of the challenge that they face and how they're able to overcome.
Yeah, I think that's a really good way to go next, yeah. The most, I've worked for all of the big ones, Twitter, X. They were fascinating. I worked for Media Monks at the time. Media Monks are a massive new agency that sprung out of nowhere when WPP sacked its CEO and he started purchasing companies all over the place. The first one he purchased was Media Monks. I was working for Media Monks before purchase. Their experience as an agency was that they designed websites that AEM implementers could not implement. because they were difficult. I was brought on as, once again, mentor, tech lead, architect, consultant to help them get started with their very first customer. And the point being that AEM developers in AEM, jQuery is built in. jQuery is rather old. Adobe use it for their UI. The rule that we established at Media Monks was that no jQuery should be exposed to an end user customer at all. We should just run raw JavaScript with minimum frameworks. This upset an awful lot of AEM shops because people are used to using jQuery with it. And because it's always been done that way. So breaking the mindset and getting the team to move to raw JS, keep your jQuery for editing functions and delivering plain JavaScript. We successfully did that with the team and made something that Twitter have got 20 AEM microsites when I was there. They had 20. And a few people look after their microsites. And when we finished our work, they told us that we were the best they'd ever worked with. So that was a nice feather in cap. Because we ignored the patterns that had been set down and went for, this is a better way to do it. And obviously it's a better way to do it. Because with Franklin, Adobe's latest implementation, they no longer use jQuery, they use raw JavaScript. They don't use any frameworks at all. They don't use Vue. You can use Vue with Franklin if you want, but they don't use any of that stuff. Plain JavaScript gets you, with the way that they serve the pages, you get speed scores of 100, 100, 100. So this is what we were after with MediaMonks. So that was an interesting challenge. We have other composability challenges like Nissan, a global corporation with markets in India, Europe, USA. Each one of those companies, parts of the empire, had different back-end systems. So in India, they used Excel spreadsheets, believe it or not, as their back-end system. In America, they use factory-supplied data. In France, they use XML schema. And we have to interface to all of those and produce a straightforward feed to the AEM to make it look like they've all come from a single source. So that is an exercise in back-end engineering to produce a facade that lets AEM think it's only working with one back-end across the planet. And that is composability at its highest possible level. Although it is back-end composability, not front-end composability.
I like the JavaScript lifecycle of starting with just JavaScript, going to like using every possible framework in the world. Now we're going back to just using JavaScript.
Yeah, well, JavaScript's a completely different language now. When jQuery was invented, you have to use.
That's true.
You know, it's caught up. jQuery has become an optional.
We're all too familiar with that in the WordPress world.
Exactly. Yeah. And you end up, if you do let people use jQuery, you end up with three different versions of jQuery being served. Oh, I've seen that too many times.
Yeah. So, Tom Cranston, tell us about the future direction. I heard you say when we were down at the event that Adobe's strategic roadmap really is becoming even more composable. Give us an idea of where we're going.
Okay, the next thing that they released after Franklin was a thing called the Universal Editor. Everybody talks about Universal Editors because these are things that you can plug in that will deal with your headless CMS and give the end user something that looks like a finished page, a WYSIWYG editor if you like. A difference between Adobe's Universal Editor and everybody else's Universal Editor is that Adobe's Universal Editor will work with any, doesn't just work with your product. So you can go to anybody's website. You do have to put some markup into the website. So it's a little bit of a disadvantage. But because Adobe owns Franklin and AEM, that's two different products. What they've done is put the markup into both so that the Universal Editor can work with either.
Is the Universal Editor one of the open source pieces?
No, so.
And just checking because I thought of an interesting experiment.
Yeah, it's not open source. No, it's not. But what you can do with the Universal Editor, go to AMD's website, edit the website as you see it on their web serve page, and save its results back in, which lets you move an old website into AM very.
Got it.
They also have tools that help you do this. Okay, so you did say, how's it becoming more composable? The next thing that they've done is they've created a new product called document authoring. is completely different from Edge Delivery Services and Franklin. It doesn't use Google Docs. It uses the standard based interfaces that everybody uses for CMSs. This works with their universal editor, and it allows you to compose your web pages locally and gives you full control over the front end like Franklin did. But its code name was Dark Alley. It's now called Document Authoring, DA. I'm getting tongue-tied over Dark Alley and Document Authoring. The point here is that when it stores it back into the AEM structure, you can then use the workflows, the language translations, everything that you're used to. And your page will now work in the very, very Adobe-friendly for a corporate's way.
Well, that's very interesting, but I'd like to really, you know, try and experiment. I'm sure you have the right connections to ask. I wonder if Adobe would allow us to do a little bit of a sandbox here in the WordPress community and say, how could we bridge something like that universal editor? Can it integrate with WordPress? Can it integrate with Drupal? I'm just curious to see, because I've seen it and it looks amazing, but what happens if you could actually take the composable, non-open source piece of the editor and say, I want to edit an open source CMS? I mean, that's the type of Frankenstein collaboration.
Or should say, the universal editor lets you read from any source and it lets you write to any source. It doesn't care that it's AEM at the bottom.
Yeah.
It doesn't care that it's AEM at the top. It's designed as truly universal. I will talk to my colleagues and see what I can do.
Very good.
It's the Adobe I/O and the parsley of the PCs going outwards that they are focusing on and breaking the monolith down into multiple replaceable objects. When you consider there's another part of Adobe, it's called Firefly, which is related to the AI that they run. But all of the apps that Adobe run on the internet, like Lightroom, etc., have got a UI, which is shared with Firefly. The Firefly runs under Adobe I/O, and you can pierce together all of the applications, and you can compose from Publisher to Lightroom to AEM to Franklin, all in one smooth go.
Right. Wonderful. Look, Tom Cranston, thank you for coming and putting up with our sort of aggressive questions on how AEM could or is composable and open source. We've learned a lot. And we're really looking forward to hearing more. Where can we find your writings and your blog on Franklin and everything else?
Well, my blog is allabout.network.
All right.
And I have an extensive, if you go to allabout.network.
Okay.
Yeah, just allabout.network. It will take you to, it'll take you to my homepage and yeah, loads of information.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks very much, Tom. Great to have chatted with you.
Hey, Bob WP again. Thanks for listening, and thanks to our sponsor, Avalara. If you've yet to subscribe, you can find us on your favorite pod app, on the Fediverse, and to get all things Do The Woo at dothewoo.io/subscribe. So until next time, take care.